On Tech News Today, here comes your next drone, and it's a submarine. Plus, we'll tell you why Google's Project Ara modular smartphone was delayed, and Donald Trump attacks Silicon Valley, and Silicon Valley attacks back. It's all coming up next on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Thursday, August 20th, 2015. This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. Tech News Today is the show where we talk about the tech news with the journalists who report it. My name is Mike Elgin. Kashmir Hill is off today, so we're going to jump right into the top story. Microsoft launched a new feature for its Bing search engine app for Android. It's called, wait for it, Snapshots on Tap. And it works a lot like an Android Marshmallow feature called Google Now on Tap. I think these guys have been drinking too much beer. Android users can replace the Google Now universal shortcut on Android to instead activate Snapshots on Tap. So it's a direct replacement of Google's feature, which will then look at your screen and show you related information pulled from Bing or the Wikipedia without leaving the app or page, just like Google Now on Tap. Unlike Now on Tap, Microsoft Snapshots on Tap doesn't require developers to integrate special code into their apps. The feature will launch first on Android, then later on Windows 10 devices, and they might even roll it out on iOS. This is a really interesting turn of events because, of course, Google introduced this at Google I.O., Google Now on Tap. Everybody oohed and awed. And it's really fascinating that Microsoft is essentially able to do something similar. It probably won't be quite as accurate without developer code. Of course, Google Now requires the developer to integrate code into their apps. It's an interesting world with Microsoft really going after Android and also iOS on these various platforms and apps. And one way or the other, I think they intend to thrill people who are on Android or iOS and get them kind of thinking that Microsoft is a pretty innovative company. We got some more news for you coming right up. But first, I want to talk about ZipRecruiter, our sponsor today. The show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. And, you know, people think that ZipRecruiter is super easy to use because you can post to 100-plus job sites with a single click. And, of course, that is a lot easier than going from site to site to site. But the really easy part is what happens after that. Of course, if you post to 100 or dozens or more than 100 different job sites and social networks, you have to go to each and every one of them to go see whether you got any responses. It's really, and each one of them serves up those responses in a completely different way. You basically can't do it. One person or even a small team couldn't do that in any reasonable amount of time. The easiest thing about ZipRecruiter is what happens after you post that job on 100-plus job sites with one click. It puts everything into a single list. It's all together from all the different websites, and you can go through them and at a glance see what you've got in terms of potential candidates. And, you know, what's really great about it, too, is they have this deal-breaker question feature is what I call it. Basically, let's say, for example, you're going to hire somebody who's going to be your importer-exporter with Mexico. Of course, speaking Spanish will be a requirement for the job. You're going to get candidates who don't even speak Spanish who want you to hire them. And so you can put a question in there and say, do you speak Spanish? And for all the ones who say, no, I don't speak Spanish, they are hidden from view. You don't even have to look at them or consider them because, of course, that's a deal breaker feature. It's a really great way to weed out. And you can do that with multiple questions. It's super powerful and makes the whole process of receiving your job candidates so much easier. I mean, and they've got to help you, too, because you're posting so many different sites with ZipRecruiter that, of course, you're going to get lots of interest of both qualified and not so qualified candidates. Is just a part of the inevitability of people. You know, you can't stop people from applying for your job. So ZipRecruiter will help you filter through those jobs and make it super, super easy. And you can screen rate and hire the right candidate fast. And I can't emphasize enough how important it is for you to hire the right candidate. It's not necessarily about the most qualified candidates, it's about the right fit for your job in every single case. We have a user testimonial from a user named Lynn who said, We've had excellent results with ZipRecruiter, and we're using it to hire more employees. Customer service is excellent, helpful, professional, and they're able to expedite service requests efficiently. It's our go-to site for hiring. And you know, I talked about the importance of getting the right candidate. ZipRecruiter has something that I think is really valuable to everybody who hires, which is a great blog full of excellent advice from experts on how to do great job searches, how to do great interviews, the whole process of hiring employees. They are the experts in hiring, and their blog reflects that. You want to check that out. Today, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. And we thank ZipRecruiter for their support of Tech News Today. And on behalf of TWIT, we thank ZipRecruiter for the great employees we hired through ZipRecruiter. Well, we told you on a previous episode that Google's Project Ara modular smartphone was delayed, and now we know why. The phones tended to fall apart when you dropped them. Ryan Whitwam is an independent technology journalist who wrote about Ara for Android Police multiple times, and he joins us now. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Now, why did Ara phones come apart on impact? What is it about their design that makes them fly into pieces?
Well, Google had this actually pretty cool idea to use electropermanent magnets to hold the hardware modules on the back of the phones. So an electropermanent magnet, it's basically it's a magnet that can be turned on and off electrically, but it doesn't require power to remain active. So, you know, you have your modules on the back of the phone. They might be, you know, storage or CPU or whatever. And then when you want to swap it out, you just disconnect it and pop another one on. However, it turns out that the connection between the module and the phone is not good enough to keep it in one piece should you drop it. And, you know, if you drop your phone and the CPU just sort of falls off the back, that's a pretty big deal. So. Yeah. So the entire basis of the hardware design was that they were just going to have these magnetic modules that would snap on. And if they can't do that, that requires some pretty significant hardware retooling. I don't know how they're going to keep the modules on the phone now. I mean, it's going to have to be some sort of physical locking mechanism, I suppose.
Do you have any speculation? I mean, obviously one possibility is some kind of case or bumper or something like that holds it all in.
I mean, I've heard people speculating that they should just have a case, but I feel like that kind of doesn't fit with what Google's going for. It kind of makes the entire idea of a modular phone moot if you have to like cover it with a case to keep all of the pieces together. I think that the idea is that you'll be able to have a lot of different inexpensive modules for the phone. So like if you want one day like a module that takes up four spots for like a really good camera, you can just plug that in. But then the rest of the time you might want another battery module or something. And if you have to disassemble the phone in sort of an awkward way to make that happen, then it just makes it a lot less compelling.
In that shot right there in the video, if you're watching the video version, it was a cat module. I think that must be for cat photos, a special compartment there.
Yeah, and if you have all these pretty modules on the back of your phone, you don't want to cover it up with a case, you know?
That is absolutely true. Now, you know, we've hinted at the general delaying of Project Ara for quite some time. And personally, I'm most vexed and depressed by the cancellation or postponement of the Puerto Rican taco truck distribution system. Do you know whether that was postponed or canceled? And second of all, why? That seemed like the perfect idea.
My impression is that everything they were going to do before has been canceled, at least effectively. They don't know where they're going to start the trial yet, and it's not going to happen in Puerto Rico. I mean, I'm sure eventually the phone will be available there, but they're going to do some other kind of test, whenever the time comes for that.
That's too bad, because I think I almost convinced Leo to sign off on a trip for me to go and cover it. Live.
That's a good tax write-off.
Thank you. Let me ask you this as an analyst. Do you think that this Ara concept, the concept of modular smartphones, will ever become mainstream? Will this always be on the fringe for the hardcore, Android geeks, or will this be, or makers or whomever might use it, or will this be kind of a mainstream concept?
Ara is really just, it's unspeakably ambitious, I think.
Yeah.
You can tell by how much trouble Google is having getting it up and running. I don't know that it's the sort of thing that's ever going to make a lot of sense to average people, especially now with smartphones getting to the point where you can buy a $200 Moto G that's a fantastic phone. And if it lasts you 2 years, I mean, it only cost you $200. I mean, it's different if it was different a few years ago when you had to spend $600 or $700 to get a phone that was in any way good. And then, you know, a few years later, you'd have to do it all over again. So the idea of putting different modules in a phone to make it, you know, a little bit snappier and keep it running longer made a lot of sense. I think now it just makes sense to people that really care about specs and really want to have the best of the best all the time. I don't see Aura being a mainstream success, but that's never stopped Google before from pursuing something.
Yeah, and it certainly is interesting. And I think what is also interesting is when they started it, it seemed, I guess, a little more impossible than it seems now. Nowadays, it seems increasingly likely, you know, kind of like some of their other projects, like Project Tango. When they first started Project Tango, it's like, oh, okay, you know, they're using electronics that used to be in like these, you know, huge, expensive computers. Now they're putting them in smartphones. There was a big giant bump on the outside of their prototype. That'll never happen. But I'm thinking, you know, in 2 or 3, 4, 5 years, that kind of functionality will be common. And this kind of Project Aura modular smartphone handsets will be reasonably affordable. I mean, they're trying to make them super affordable. Of course, when they're stripped of features, they'll be $50, right? And then to add real modules will really add up. So
yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's technologically feasible somewhere down the line. It's just going to be a question of whether there's really a place in the market for that sort of product.
Yeah, it seems to me like the perfect device for people who have really unusual needs. So, for example, if you need a see-in-the-dark camera, right, you're not going to find an off-the-shelf smartphone that does that. If you're going to need a thing that shoots poison darts or some other, you know, special need, then you're going to go for the Aura. And if they corner the radically vertical markets and all of them, that's adds up to a reasonable market, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure FLIR is just is loving the idea that they could build an Aura module, because I mean, right now they're selling a $250 USB accessory that adds a thermal camera to your phone, which isn't super convenient.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Ryan Whitwam is at ryanwhitwam.com and on Twitter at Ryan Whitwam. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thank you.
Danish police have arrested two men for running two Popcorn Time-related websites. Popcorn Time software is a BitTorrent client with a built-in media player that enables people to watch movies and TV shows posted on torrent sites. What's most interesting about this case is that the sites themselves, which, by the way, were seized by police, did not have infringing content or Popcorn Time code or downloads. They merely provided news and information about Popcorn Time. If that doesn't freak you out, let me say it in another way. The men were arrested in Europe for talking about the internet. So let's see if they actually get away with this and end up successfully prosecuting them. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump unveiled an immigration plan this week, which includes a decrease in work visas for foreign employees with rare and valuable skills. Now Silicon Valley is pushing back. The pushback is organized by a lobbying organization called Forward US, which was founded by Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. The group called for increasing such visas instead of decreasing them. A new study from Pew Research Center discovered that U.S. adults are not using social networks like they used to. While Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest all grew just 1 or 2 percentage points each among U.S. adults for the past year, Twitter remained flat and LinkedIn decreased by 3%. Meanwhile, messaging apps are growing fast among millennials. According to the report, about half of Americans between 18 and 29 with smartphones use messaging apps, and some of those, of course, are the ephemeral type cause the messages to vanish. Chromebooks are surging in schools. A new report from IDC found that Chromebooks are by far the fastest-growing platform for education, marking a whopping 310% growth in 2014 over the previous year for a total of 3.9 million Chromebooks. That's pretty impressive. But Apple still leads in revenue, of course. About half the money spent by schools on computers goes to Apple. I don't know how they do it. Microsoft still leads the number of devices sold, about 4.2 million Windows desktops and laptops sold last year. Already, Chromebooks, which are laptops, are ahead of Microsoft in terms of laptops. The San Jose Mercury News is reporting that Samsung will try to take its appeal of the 2012 Apple patent verdict, which found that Samsung infringed Apple's design patents. Although the case involves now obsolete designs and phones, quote, the questions present issues of enormous importance to patent litigation and the scope of innovation, especially in high technology industries, unquote, according to Samsung's lawyers. If Samsung convinces the Supreme Court to take the case, and if they win, the company won't have to pay about $400 million of the $548 million in damages. And of course, the money is not the point. The point is sticking it to Apple. Well, in news you can lose, in news you can use, a startup is creating a $450 consumer drone with a unique feature. It doesn't fly. Instead, it's a submarine called the Fathom Drone. It's tethered to a smartphone with a 100-foot cable and controlled with an iOS or Android app, according to the creators. A camera shows real-time video on your phone, and the company is now accepting pre-orders. I need this. I was going to say want this, but I think I really need this one. This is really awesome. It goes scuba diving, so you don't have to. These guys live in Michigan, where it's really cold. And they initially wanted some way to drill a hole in the ice and drop in a submarine. Of course, submersibles, which are used by scientists and researchers, cost tens of thousands of dollars. So they're coming out with one that's $450. Some reports say $450. Other reports, a few of the reports say $600. So it's, let's call it $500, give or take $200. Still pretty affordable. Well, in news you could lose, a South Korean company has solved a vexing first world problem. How do you text while holding an umbrella? It's called the phonebrella, and it's a creation of the South Korean telecoms giant KT. Hang on, folks. Here comes the video, and this is strange. Okay, so now we see a millennial hipster in the rain with an umbrella, and he is just struggling. And so a nearby woman has a umbrella with a C. It's kind of like a letter C at the end of it instead of the regular handle. She walks up. She assaults him, takes the umbrella away, and replaces it with her phone. Of course, he's mesmerized because she's, of course, a model. And she puts the C around his wrist, and now he can text while using the umbrella. Now, here's the creepy part. She stands here and watches him text. She's looking right at his screen. Man, she ought to be arrested. Anyway, this is folks, it's coming. This is real. And, of course, we all need one, of course. Well, our TNT fan of the day is Thomas Smith in Idaho, posted this picture on Google+. He watches while walking on his Rebel treadmill desk. Very, very cool. Show us how you watch or listen to TNT. Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup and post it on Instagram, Google+, Twitter, or Facebook. And use the hashtag #HowIWatchTNT so we can find it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can subscribe to Tech News Today from your favorite podcast app, and you should subscribe immediately. Choose your favorite way to subscribe at twit.tv/TNT. You can also watch us live every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1700 UTC at twit.tv/live. You can follow us on Twitter at Tech News Today TV, and you can follow me at elgin.com. Also, don't miss our other news show, Tech News Tonight, at 4 p.m. Pacific every single weeknight. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Tech News Today. The show is produced by Jason Cleanthes and edited by Anthony Nielsen. I hope he edited it. He hasn't edited it yet, of course, when I'm saying this, but I think he'll probably edit it. My name is Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.